Peter, Andrew, James, and John, fishermen of Capernaum, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas the doubter, and Matthew 2, James the less, and Thaddeus the brave, Simon the zealot, and Judas who betrayed. Thank you, Baptist Sunday School. Do you know that one by heart? I learned that as a fairly small child in Sunday school. It's the exact list of the names of the 12 apostles as we heard them from Matthew's gospel. What a crew. Four guys who fish for a living. One guy, as we heard last Sunday, a tax collector collaborating with the Roman government. Another guy, Simon, the Canaanian, also known as Simon the Zealot, who is working to overthrow the Roman government. Another one, Judas, is so keen to have things turn out in a particular way that he will force Jesus' hand at the end. Thomas, maligned as a doubter, is really an asker of important questions and an affirmer of the value of having one's own firsthand experience. Philip brings Bartholomew, who's also called Nathanael in other Gospels, brings him to meet Jesus. And it's also Philip who finds a young boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish and kicks off a really big picnic. The second James of the list, known as James the Less, and Thaddeus, who appears to be his brother, may actually be Jesus' cousins. Many traditions and stories surround all 12 of them, but we don't know much about any of them, really. All of them are Jews. All of them are men. Most of them are from the same geographic region of Galilee, and they are of different occupations and different gifts and temperaments and political persuasions and possibly of different social classes. So in some ways, given their similarities, they are a posse of pretty homogeneous regional homeboys of Jesus. Yet in other ways, they are highly different from one another. They are a rather motley crew. And this is the group of 12 that Jesus commissions to go out and do the same things that Jesus himself has been doing with the same authority that he has been doing them. Jesus sends them out. It's the only place in Matthew's gospel where they are referred to as apostles, which literally means ones who are sent. He has been training them up for some time. They're ready. They've been watching him. They've been apprenticed by him. Jesus delegates the work to them and the authority to carry it out. He gives the work to them and trusts them to do it. Willingness and availability go a long, long way. But not everyone is equipped for some tasks. And no one is trained and equipped for every task. For those who are trained, equipped, and sent out to do these particular kinds of work in God's world, Jesus gives the mandate for doing it and the parameters for it. What to do: heal, teach, cast out demons, get rid of evil. Where to do it: all over in the cities and towns of Israel, but not in Samaria and not among the Gentiles. How to do it: traveling light, unencumbered by lots of stuff. Under what conditions to do it: where you are invited in. Then stay where you're offered hospitality. Don't hang around where people don't welcome you. Not only here in Matthew's gospel, but also in Mark and Luke, we have these accounts of Jesus sending out the 12. In Mark and Luke, we hear not only that they are sent out, but we hear reports of all they were able to do after they come back. In Matthew, we get no report of how things go and no indication that they actually go out. In Mark and Luke, Jesus tells them to go everywhere, every town, every city. In Matthew, he specifies they only go to Jewish towns and cities. One way we might understand these directions is that the disciples and we are sent to present ourselves at the doorways where we are least expected and see what happens. If invited, enter in. If uninvited, move on. What unexpected hospitality might we receive if we are willing to be the guest and not the boss? What new connections might be made if we don't have to be in charge? Show up at unlikely doorways and see what happens. We have some of this venturing out in this way going on already in our life together. St. Paul's people venture out to Ponciana Gardens on the third Tuesday and see who turns up for prayer and to receive communion. St. Paul's people venture out to one or more laundromats each month and see who turns up to do laundry and what new connections might be made in sharing the gift of free washer and dryer loads. This Sunday falls right between the monthly occasions of both those ministries. On Tuesday, Claire and BJ will take communion and offer prayer at Ponciana, and this past Wednesday, Loads of Love, our community laundry ministry, led by Sarah and Tammy, ministered to 18 families at Habana Coin Laundry. How else are you feeling led by the Spirit to go out and connect with people where they are in the community? Is there something you think about? Is there something you wonder about doing? Will you be brave and share it with some of the rest of us? Chances are, if it's something you're thinking about, the Holy Spirit is whispering it to somebody else too. To what other locations might we go in Jesus' name to extend the embrace of St. Paul's in the community? Going out is a crucial task of mission as we work to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. Going out is critical, but it's not the only task. It's not the only movement. The first reading from Genesis gives us another crucial task of mission: welcoming in. Abraham and Sarah have been on their journey for some time now. It's been years since God first promised Abraham, when he was still Abram, that he would be the ancestor of innumerable descendants, more descendants than there are stars in the sky, was the promise. It's been years. Still no heir. Three strangers appear at Abraham and Sarah's tent in the heat of the day. We know something about that. We know that they are messengers from God, but Abraham and Sarah don't know that yet. They welcome them in. They prepare the best food they possibly can. They expend great energy offering hospitality. These strangers bring incredibly good news, incredible good news, that the painful infertility that Sarah and Abraham have experienced for decades will come to an end with the birth of a son. They can't believe it. They've been waiting so long, it still seems impossible. We have a lot of welcoming in that goes on around here already. Every day in daylight hours, 7 days a week, this beautiful space is open and the grounds of St. Paul's are open for people to spend time. It's a ministry of beauty and hospitality. Hundreds of people from all over the place pass through here every single week, even weeks as hot as this one. We don't know who may turn up. Every week we welcome visitors at services. They come from many different places. We don't know who will turn up. We don't know what good news and glad tidings those who come in may offer to us, nor do we know how they may be blessed, how they might benefit from spending time with the people of St. Paul's. Would you like to be more actively involved in this welcoming in part? If you would, we have some opportunities for you. We could use some more ushers to help welcome folks as they arrive at services. Donald Curry is here every single Sunday. He could use some reinforcements now that most of his seasonal helpers are spending time elsewhere. You could welcome people at coffee hour, which all of you are invited to after this service in the parish hall. We have some new coffee hour hosts. We could use some more. I'm proud to say, unlike a lot of places I've visited, when I get to coffee hour, I see St. Paul's people talking with visitors, not just off to the side, only talking with one another. You don't know who you might be talking to. You don't know what impact that conversation may have upon them or upon you. Another opportunity to welcome people in is in this space when the air conditioning isn't on. That probably doesn't sound super exciting in this week's weather, but we have some docents. For sure we have two, Dave Iyer and Sarah Kindinger. If you would like to join the ranks of docents and do the work that Sarah and Dave do, along with Jeff Manalga, who closes 4 evenings a week, speak to Dave or Sarah. They can hook you up. And starting this Tuesday at 1:30 p.m., Dave is going to offer a free tour. We'll put the signs up. He'll add more days if that's a desired thing. You can come hang out with Dave and find out how to give a tour of St. Paul's. It's another way to offer hospitality, to welcome people as they are, as they arrive. If you're interested in any of those things, or if something else has occurred to you, will you share that good idea with some of the rest of us? In both welcoming in and going out, what ultimately transpires is above our pay grade. We don't know what may happen to others or to us. Doesn't matter. Our work is to perform these crucial tasks of mission. The reading from Romans speaks of how that is possible. Because of the grace in which we stand. Not because of our own power, not by our own devising, or through our own merits or good deeds or good ideas or rule following, but by the grace of God, given freely, so that it might be freely received and freely shared. I recently heard a podcast guest say, if we draw a Venn diagram of God's realm and the world, we draw those two circles, the place where they intersect, that middle space, is where those who follow Jesus should understand ourselves as living. We live in, we inhabit that in-between space, bringing the realm of God into this world. modeling for the wider culture a different set of values, a different way of understanding how to be in the world as humans made in God's image, who offer grace, compassion, and welcome, who work for justice and peace. We are the people of the middle way already because we are Anglicans, so this should sound familiar. We occupy the space in the middle, in between. Something different from what is, something that gives a glimpse of how God has already made God's presence known here on earth. We go out to meet people where they are. We welcome people in as they are. And in going out and welcoming in, we are engaging those we encounter. Here are some words from Archbishop Desmond Tutu of blessed memory. You may bristle at this word he uses, but listen to the way he uses it. We are all missionaries, or we are nothing. By that I mean that if we claim that we belong to the apostolic way, which means that we are sent, then all the time, whether we like it or not, we are witnessing either positively or negatively to that faith. When we do well, the glory returns to the church. And when we are doing badly, that too reflects on the church. So without being too bombastic about it, we are always missionaries, or we are nothing. Out amongst our neighbors, presenting ourselves at unlikely doorways, receiving the hospitality that is offered, and welcoming folks in, offering hospitality to whoever comes. That's our work. And that way, when we stand at the altar, when we come to the altar, we will smell like the world. And God loves, so loves the world. Amen.